Zoan Sassafras, Book 5, The Pod and the Bog. Prologue. These days, my cat Sassafras and I are always desperately hoping we'll hear our barn doorbell. I know most people are excited to hear their doorbell ring. It might mean a present or a package delivery or a friend showing up to play. But our doorbell is even more exciting than that, because it's a magic doorbell. When it rings, it means there's a magical animal waiting outside our barn, a magical animal who needs our help. My mom's been helping them basically her whole life, and now I get to help too. Chapter 1, Bedtime. I steadied my ruler in the soil next to my pea plant. Whoa, it's up to 8 inches now, Sassafras. I wrote down the date and the new height in my science journal. Sassafras touched his nose to the plant and meowed. I know, I'm totally surprised too. When Clara asked me what would happen if we used a marker to color on all the pea plant leaves, I thought for sure the pea plant would stop growing or maybe even die. It turned my science journal towards Sassafras, and he gave it a sniff. I can't wait to surprise her with it when she comes over to play again. Mom popped her head in. Ready to read, Zoe? Yes, I yelped and hopped up from my desk. Pajamas and cap? Check. Teeth brushed? Check. Pea plant measured? Check. And look, it's still growing. I handed Mom my journal. Mom took it and looked it over. Well done. And you know what I'm going to ask next, right? I nodded eagerly. What other questions do you have now? I have a bunch, like what happens if I color the top and the bottom of the leaf? And what if I try a different color on each plant? Will some grow better? Oh, and what about different kinds of plants? Is it just pea plants that keep growing with markers on their leaves? Mom patted my head and smiled. All excellent questions. But since it's time for bed, we'll have to work on them tomorrow. Shall I begin our story? Sassafras started purring and hustled over to my lap. I giggled as I put away my science journal. Mom got cozy at the foot of my bed and opened the book. Now, where were we? We were right at the part where Sassafras leaped out of my lap and held very still with his ears pointing outside. I looked at Mom. Did you hear something? Was that... It was unmistakable this time. That was definitely the sound of the barn doorbell.
Chapter 2, Nighttime Visitor.
Sassafras chattered and ran to my bedroom door and back. I clasped my hands together and gave Mom my sweetest smile. Please, can I go? Mom looked at her watch and sighed. Okay, but take a flashlight and come back right away. If it's something serious, I can take over for you. It's late and you need your sleep. I leaped out of bed and ran for the door, calling out over my shoulder. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I promise we'll be right back. I grabbed a flashlight out of the kitchen drawer and slipped on my shoes, and then Sassafras and I bolted across the yard to the barn. My heart was pounding, not just from running, but also from the excitement of meeting a new magical creature. Who do you think it will be this time, Sassafras? I panted. Sassafras stopped running and leaped into the air. Then he chewed and swallowed. Ew, Sass, did you just eat a bug? Meow, he said triumphantly. I shook my head disapprovingly as I opened the door. Remember, Sassafras, no trying to eat our magical friends, even if they are very bug-like. It's just not polite. We ran through the barn to the back door. The moment of truth. I took a steadying breath and opened the door. Just above the ground was a large glowing rainbow. Stone? Wow. I knelt down and reached out a finger. It was like a merhorse stone, but the size of a soccer ball. That familiar, shimmering rainbow light meant one thing. Whatever this was, it was definitely magical. Sassafras stood frozen next to me. His eyes were like big saucers. Ahem, a little help, please. This thing is really heavy. I called a small voice. A small voice I knew. Pip! I shrieked, perhaps a little too loudly. Pip stumbled backward, and I managed to grab the rainbow stone just before it hit the ground. Pip was the magical talking frog who had started it all. My mom found him hurt badly in the forest when she was my age and nursed him back to health. He was one of my favorite magical creatures. He always managed to make me laugh. Sheesh, Zoe, you scared me. Your giant human voice can be quite startling, you know. Pip brushed himself off just in time to have a giant furry sassafras head crash into him. This time, he did fall over, and we both laughed. I guess you both have missed me, yes? Absolutely, I grinned as I helped Pip back to his feet. I held out the glowing stone. What is it? Where did you find it? And is something wrong with this, rainbow stone? Ah, great questions. I would expect nothing less from you. Let's start at the beginning. That is most definitely not a stone. It is a seed pod from some kind of magical plant. I slowly rolled it between my hands. A magical seed pod? That is so cool. Pip nodded in agreement. I was just getting ready for bed and was all cozy when I heard an enormous thud outside my home. Of course I had to go see what it was. When I got outside, this was lying there on the ground. My best guess is that some sort of flying magical creature was trying to steal it for food and accidentally dropped it. Sassafras watched as I poked and fiddled with the pod. See, Sassafras? It's kind of like our pea plant, only instead of a long seed pod, this one is round and a lot bigger. I wonder if the seeds inside look like peas. What color do you think the seeds are? Arg, this thing is impossible to open. Should we be trying to get it open? I wasn't sure what to do, but I figured I shouldn't just leave it at my house, Pip explained. Oh, good point. Let's see. It's from some sort of magical plant. So should we try to figure out which one first? Have you seen pods like this before, Pip? That's the thing. I haven't ever seen one like this. Do you think it's really a rare kind of plant? What if it's endangered? I put my hand to my mouth. What if it's the last of its kind? We've got to get it back to where it belongs, and we need to keep it super safe until then. That sounds like a good plan. Since I've never seen it, I think it must be from pretty far. Pip stopped and stretched and gave a big yawn. Pretty far away, and then he yawned again, and then Sassafras yawned. And then I heard my mom calling me from the house. I rubbed my eyes a little. Okay, I think we are all pretty tired. This should be safe in the barn tonight. Can we meet first thing tomorrow to get started on a plan? Pip nodded sleepily and made a little blanket nest on a chair in the barn and carefully placed the glowing seed pod in the middle. Mom called again. Good night, Pip. I kissed him on the head and Sassafras licked him on the cheek. Blech! Pip wiped off our kisses. But he was smiling. I'll see you two tomorrow.
Chapter 3, all about plants.
The next morning, Mom, Sassafras, and I crowded around the glowing seed pod. The seed pod continued the beautiful shimmering cycle we'd seen the night before. Red, slowly and gracefully blending into orange, then changed to yellow, and so on, until it had gone through all the rainbow colors and started over again. I could stare all this all day, Mom said finally. Me too, but we should work on getting it back to the right place. I don't know if keeping it here could hurt it somehow. I don't want anything bad to happen to it. Mom patted my head. So responsible. You're right. Mom grabbed one of her old science journals and flipped it open. Let's see here. Pip was right about magical plants being rare. I've heard that from several magical creatures. The only magical plant I've ever seen was this one. Mom turned the journal around so I could see. Are those furry purple fruits? I reached out a finger to touch the photo. Oh, they're soft. Every time we take a photo of something magical, the photo keeps a bit of the magic. So, even though it was just a photo of a giant purple plant, I could feel the fur on the fruits. Yep. They are, but the seeds from that plant are inside those fruits, not seed pods. So this pod is definitely a different species. How are we going to figure out where it came from? I asked. Mom raised an eyebrow at me. Maybe we could read about real plants to see if there are any that are similar? Mom motioned with her hand to keep going. And we could look at maps to see the different sorts of places around here a plant might grow? Mom grinned. You have some great ideas to get you started. Unfortunately, I have a ton of work. Do you think you and Sassafras can figure it out? I'll be inside if you need me. I popped my thinking goggles on my head and nodded confidently. Go work. We've got this. Chapter 4. From where?
Meow.
I set a big, serious-looking book down on the table next to the seed pod. Okay, Sassafras, I'm going to read about different kinds of seeds in this botany book. Maybe there's a real-life seed pod that looks like this, and then we can get a hint about where this one might grow. Sassafras ignored me, and instead sniffed all around the seed pod. He reached out a paw and bopped it softly, then harder. The seed pod rolled away from him, then bonked into the wall and rolled straight back at him. Sassafras hissed and jumped backwards with his tail puffed up. I caught the seed ball before it rolled off the table and laughed. I tapped him gently on the nose with one finger. Why don't you try and stay out of trouble while I read? Sassafras grumbled and jumped down from the table. While Sassafras explored spider webs in the corner of the barn, I read about seed pods and fruit seeds and flying seeds and dangling seeds called catkins. I liked saying that word because it reminded me of cats. But nothing sounded at all like our rainbow pod. Ugh, Sassafras. Reading is not working. Now what do I do? Sassafras gave a little meow and began pacing the barn. I joined him and tapped my thinking goggles. It made a fun sound, so I started tapping out a little beat. That made me want to hum. And the humming quickly turned into a song. O seed, pod, at your colors, we are odd. I paused at the table. Wait a second. Was the seam getting bigger on the seed pod? Maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me. I shrugged and kept singing. This is really kind of odd. Then I jumped a little. The seam definitely looked bigger. Whoa! I scrambled to come up with more words to the song. At your surface, my cat pawed, and a magic creature clawed. I think you live somewhere abroad. If I knew where, I would applaud. All at once, the two halves of the seed pod swung apart. We peered inside at a couple dozen shiny black seeds, as perfectly round and about the same size as bouncy balls. I reached in and pulled out a handful. Sassafras and I silently stared. Then I felt a frog on my head. Whoa, Zoe, it's open, Pip exclaimed. He jumped down to my wrist and touched a seed with a webbed hand. You left the barn door open, so I just let myself in. What happened? I think the pod liked my singing. I kept going and it popped open. Just then, Mom walked in with a sandwich. Do I hear my favorite frog? Pip hopped over to Mom and we told her everything we'd figured out so far. Well, this certainly makes things interesting, she said. You couldn't figure out any hints on where the seed pod might grow from reading. Can you think of something other than reading that we could try? I tapped my trusty thinking goggles. Do you think we could? I mean, would it be safe to use some of the seeds in an experiment? Aha, good thinking, said Mom. That's what I would try next. We have a good number of seeds. What sort of experiment do you have in mind? Once I explained my idea to Mom, it was time to get to work. Chapter 5. Experiment. I dashed back into the barn. Sassafras lay sleeping with Pip curled up on top of him. I tossed my science journal onto the table. I'd meant to do it quietly, but it made a big slamming noise instead. Sassafras jumped up, launching Pip into the air. Ah! Yelled Pip as he flew across the room. Whoops. Sorry, guys. Now that I'm wide awake, said Pip as he brushed himself off, you might as well tell me what you figured out. I made a list of all the places around here that I thought the plant might grow. Mom had a few ideas to add, and now we have so many great things to try. Rocks, water, sand, soil. Here, I've got a whole list written down. Pip looked over what I'd written and scratched his head. So how will we tell us where our plant is from again? If we can figure out what our seeds grow best in, that will give us a big clue. Like, if the seeds start growing on rocks, we know the pod probably came from the top of one of the mountains, or any place around here that has a lot of rocks all in one spot. Pip nodded. Oh, now I get it. So first we need to try all these things, and then we'll use that answer to figure out where we should take the pod. Exactly. I want to get these seeds back to the right place right away. I don't know if they're going to do something weird like dry out or I don't even know what, so let's get cracking. I grabbed my science journal and a pen and started writing as I spoke. First, we start with our question. Question: what will our mystery seeds grow in? And next is our hypothesis. So here is where you make a guess. What do you think, Pip? Where will our mystery seeds grow? Pip tapped his chin. I think the mystery seeds will grow in water because the seed pod looks like a merhorse stone and those are usually underwater. Oh, great guess, Pip. I wrote down his guess and then mine. Hypothesis, Zoe. I think the mystery seeds will grow in potting soil because that's where most of the plants I know of grow. Okay, now we need to figure out all the materials we need. You said sand, water, rocks, and I don't remember the others, Pip shrugged. Oh, and soil and that mix of sand and moss Mom told me to try. Here we go. Materials. Cups, dirt from our yard, potting soil, stream water, sand, sand and moss mixed, rocks, mystery seeds, labels, and marker. I tapped my pencil on my lip. How many seeds do we have? Pip carefully counted and announced 24. Okay, perfect. We want to try 6 different ways to grow them. So with 24 seeds, we can put 4 seeds in each container. Pip made 6 little piles of 4 seeds each. Okay, I can get pots and labels from inside, potting soil from our greenhouse, rocks from our driveway, stream water from the stream. But what about sand? Pip asked, and moss. Mom said peat moss would be the best to try, but I forgot to ask her where to find that. Pip gave a joyful jump. I know where to find that moss in the forest. I can also get the stream water. Perfect. Now we just need to figure out where to find sand. Sassafras went running for the barn door. He stopped at the door and looked over his shoulder and gave an annoyed meow. Oh, you want me to follow you? Sassafras led the way out to my sandbox. Brilliant. Good kitty. I scratched under his chin and he purred. Wait here. I'll be right back with the cups. Several minutes later, Pip, Sassafras, and I met in the barn. Pip panted in front of a small pile of moss and bit of a stream water. Now what? Now we write our steps. In an experiment, it's important to change just one thing and keep everything else the same, chirped Pip. Your mom is always saying that. I laughed and nodded. She is. We're changing the stuff we are trying to grow the seeds in, so we should use the same pots, the same number of seeds in each pot, and the same number of stuff in each pot. We should also keep them in the same place. And I'm pretty sure all seeds need water to grow, so I'll add the same amount of water to each of them. Procedure 1. Get 6 plastic pots and label each. Yard dirt, potting soil, stream water, sand, sand moss mix, and rocks. 2. Fill each pot halfway with the material. 3. Place 4 seeds in a square shape in each cup. 4. Add 1 teaspoon of water to each cup. 5. Check on seeds every day. With Pip and Sassafras both helping, we got through the seed planting pretty quickly. As we stood back to admire our work, Pip let out a monstrous yawn. I think my work here is done. Time for a nap. I'll see you tomorrow. Sassafras and I gave Pip a quick snuggle. See you tomorrow, Pip.
That's the CC.
Chapter 7. Oh no. Following our usual routine, Sassafras and I burst into the barn right after breakfast, full of excitement. I bet they are going to be enormous, Sass. I skipped over the table and skidded to a stop. Oh no, I gasped. The pots with rocks, potting soil, and yard dirt looked completely empty. I stepped closer. Where there had been plants, there was now nothing but purple ashes? All the plants in those pots were dead. My lip quivered. My stomach tightened. We need Mom. Sassafras and I dashed back to the house. I wiped my tears so Dad wouldn't worry. He couldn't see anything magical, and I couldn't explain what was wrong without talking about a magical seed pod. Dad would be so confused. I took a few deep breaths to steady myself and then went straight to Mom's office. She took one look at me and opened her arms. Oh, honey, what's wrong? The tears started again. It's about the seeds. Pip and Sassafras and I discovered that music helped them grow last night, and they were all doing great. Right, you showed me your data, and it was all great. Did they stop growing? Worse. The plants in three of the containers are completely dead, and that's left in the pots are purple ashes. Mom was confused by this too, so she came out to the barn and took a look herself. How strange. These must be very delicate magical plants. You did a great job. There was no way we could have known they would turn to ashes like that. I would have done the same thing you did. I sniffled. That did make me feel better, but still, I only had 12 plants left. If these were the last 12 of their kind, I needed to be extra super duper careful. I didn't want to be the one to make such a beautiful and rare magical plant go extinct. We can talk through the rest of your plans together and make sure we're being careful with the seeds we have left. Let's start with what you learned here. Mom scooted a ruler and my science journal over to me. I carefully measured the plants we had left and added the information to my chart. Stream water, 8 inches. Sand, 7 inches. Sand moss mix, 18 inches. Then I spoke as I wrote. Conclusion. The mystery seeds grow tallest in sand mixed with moss. They sort of grow in water and sort of in sand. They do not grow in rocks, yard dirt, or potting soil. Also, P.S., they need music or songs to grow. Perfect, said Mom. What are you planning to do next? Because the plants are so much taller in the sand and moss mix, I think I should move the plants in water and sand into pots with sand and moss. And then the next thing I need to figure out is how much to water them. Mom nodded. And you have a bit of a clue there about the water. I tapped my thinking goggles. I know that the amount of water I gave them to start was maybe okay, since the plants in sand and moss are still growing. Mm-hmm, said Mom. And one more thing? Pip cleared his throat near the pot of plants and water. Oh, thanks, Pip. Having a lot of water is probably okay, since those plants are growing all right. Pip and Mom clapped and I grinned. Mom gave my shoulder a squeeze. Sounds like you're ready for your next experiment.
Sorry about the delay. But anyways, back to today. Zap, great. How much water?
Chapter 8, How Much Water? The plants were getting crowded with 4 per pot, so I very, very carefully separated them out and gave each plant its own pot filled halfway with sand and moss mixed together. Pip had helped gather more peat moss from the forest before going home for the day. I hummed along to the radio and sat down with my science journal. I started with the new question. How much water will make the mystery plants grow the best? I thought for a minute. Oh, right. Ugh. I scratched out best. If Mom were here, she'd say, what does best mean? Tallest? Wildest? Most leaves? Be specific, Zoe. I fixed my journal entry. Question. How much water will make the mystery plants grow the tallest? And then I got to make a guess. Aw, man. I should have asked Pip for his guess before he left. Oh, well. All right, Sassafras, we've learned that, I flipped back in my science journal. The best amount of water is probably between 1 teaspoon and 1/2 a pot of water. Sassafras blinked lazily at me and then laid his head down and started to snore. Well then, I guess I'd need to write in my journal quietly. Hypothesis. I think 5 teaspoons of water will make the mystery plants grow the tallest. I checked to make sure all my materials were on the table. Water, teaspoons, 12 pots with plants. Check, check, check. Okay, on to the procedure. How much water should I try in each? I did not want to wake up to more purple ashes tomorrow. I quietly labeled my pots and then drew out my plan while Sassafras snored. Procedure. 1 through 12 teaspoons of water. 1 per pot. I started singing again quietly as I added the water. It couldn't hurt. 1 for you and 2 now 2. 3 will do and 4 who knew? Do 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 do. Almost through. Now 12. Woohoo! Sassafras yawned and stretched. Then he looked at my closed journal and the labeled pots and gave a little jump. I finished it all while you slept. Our little plants should be fine now. I hope. Let's go tell Mom and make sure my experiment sounds okay. I crossed my fingers and my toes as I closed the barn door. Please be okay, little plants, I whispered. Chapter 9. Not Again. I woke up the next morning full of hope. But when we got to the barn, my shoulders slumped. 3 more plants had turned to ashes. Mom rubbed my back. It's not your fault, honey. This is a tricky problem and a delicate plant. Which 3 did we lose overnight? The plants in the pots that got 1, 2, and 12 teaspoons of water. My stomach felt like I'd swallowed a rock. But look, now we know more about your plant. Mom gestured to the growing plants. I took a deep breath to try to calm myself down. Panicking wouldn't help the 9 plants that were left. I grabbed my ruler with a shaky hand and measured. Okay, so it looks like the 6 teaspoon plant has grown the most. That must be close to the perfect amount of water. I poked a finger in the soil. It's kind of mushy and wet. That's strange, right? It is unusual. Mom seemed to be waiting for me to figure it out. I could do this. Okay, so we know that it likes sand mixed with moss and that it likes to be a little soggy. 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 Oh, boggy. It's that thing you were telling me about when I started, right? A bog. Mom smiled. Exactly. Remember, a bog is a kind of wetland. The plants there are used to soils that are similar to a sand and moss mix, and they're usually okay with a bit of standing water. I agree with your conclusion that our mystery plant seems to want to grow in a bog. I peeked out the barn window into the forest. And you said there's one around here? Mom pointed off in the distance. The one I know of is a few miles that way, but there aren't any roads to it. The only way to get there is a pretty steep and long hike. I love hiking, I flexed my arm muscles, and I'm tough. Can I come with you to take the plants back? Please, Mom? I was super excited to get the plants back where they belonged, and I was a little worried that the longer I kept them, the more likely I would wake up to more purple ashes. Mom laughed. You are tough. I have to go into work today, but maybe we can go tomorrow. Yes, I jumped up and down. Why don't you get all of these plants watered for the day, and then you and Sassafras can start packing everything we'll need for a long day hike. Hats and bug spray and snacks and all of that. We're on it. Chapter 10. Surprise. Sassafras and I had just finished packing 2 backpacks, mainly full of yummy snacks, when we heard the magic doorbell ring. I think it's Pip. He was supposed to come this morning, but all those trips back and forth with the peat moss and stream water must have really tired him out. Sassafras and I ran for the barn. We opened the door to find a smiley Pip. What did I miss? He asked as he hopped onto my head. Oh, Pip. I swallowed and then broke the bad news. We lost 3 more plants, but We learn that the plants grow the tallest with 6 teaspoons of water a day, and see? I squished the wet soil with my finger again. We're almost positive they're bog plants. Ooh, Pip cooed. I know, the soggy soil is pretty cool, right? No, I mean, yes, but oh, look at those. I couldn't tell what Pip was so excited about, so I plucked him down from my head. He pointed up to the tops of the plants. Oh my goodness, how did we not see those? Sassafras, look! I picked up sassafras, Pip jumped back on my head, and we crowded around what looked like sparkling flower buds. I can't wait to see the flowers. They must be amazing. Can you even imagine? How do we get them to bloom? Asked Pip. Well, that's a great question. Flowers usually bloom in the spring and summer when it's warm and sunny. So these guys probably just need some sun. Oh! Pip gently touched a low-hanging flower bud with one webbed hand. Do you think they will bloom right away if we take them outside now? That's a great idea. Maybe we can surprise my mom with the flowers. She's at work today, but she'll be home later. One by one, I moved the 7 plants out into the sunshine. I'm putting them here by this tree because, see, I pointed up, there are lots of bees, and bees pollinate flowers. Pip gave me a puzzled look. Pollinate? Yeah. Flowers need pollen added from other flowers to grow a fruit or a seed pod. Pip coughed a little. Pollen? I spotted a dandelion and plucked it. A bee lands on a flower to get some food. I tapped the dandelion against the palm of my hand and showed Pip the yellow dust left behind. When she lands, some of this pollen dust will get on her little feet. When she goes to another flower for more food, she'll leave some of the pollen on that new flower and pick up some more. Pip poked at the pollen in my hand. I scanned the yard and ran over to pick a dandelion that was white and puffy with seeds. The pollen the bees leave makes it so the flower can turn into a seed or seeds like this. I blew and all the little dandelion seeds rained down on Pip's head as he giggled. Oh, so maybe we just need bees. And then our flowers will make more rainbow seed pods, exclaimed Pip. Yes. And then our plant won't go extinct, I cheered. We high-fived. Pip and I lay in the grass and propped our heads on our elbows as we watched. And waited. And watched. Nothing happened. Maybe we need some music? I can't bring the radio all the way out, but I could turn it up. I ran back into the barn and turned the radio louder. I walked back outside to check. We could definitely hear it. More watching. More waiting. More nothing. Pip yawned. Zoe? This is getting a little boring. It's such a pretty day. Could we get to take a break and go visit the merhorses? Pretty please? I didn't want to miss the flowers blooming, but it didn't look like it was going to happen anytime soon. I hadn't seen the merhorses in a while. And Pip was here to translate for me. It was really hard to say much to the merhorses without Pip there, since I couldn't understand anything they said back to me. Just then, Dad came out into the yard. What are you doing with those empty pots, sweetie? I giggled. A science experiment with plants. Hey, Dad, can I go down to the stream for a little while? I'll be back by dinner time. Dad stared at the pots for one more moment and then patted me on the head. Sure. I stood up and gave him a quick hug. Thanks, Dad. Pip hopped on my head. Sassafras ran ahead, and we all set off for the stream. Chapter 11, Only Two. I grinned as I tickled the baby merhorse under the chin. I thought nothing could be cuter than merhorses, but baby merhorses? Yep, pretty much the most adorable thing ever. Sassafras was peeking at the little one in the water from his perch on a fallen log. As much as he loved merhorses, there was no way he wanted to get wet. And his ears started twitching. Then his head snapped toward home. I strained to hear my mom calling my name. Sorry, merhorses. It was so much fun playing with you, but I've got to go. We'll visit again soon. Pip hopped on my head, and I lifted Sassafras into my arms and hauled them both to the other side of the stream. I can't wait to show Mom the flowers. Do you think they've bloomed? It's been longer than I thought. If Mom is already home from work, let's hurry. We ran the whole way. And as soon as we made it into the yard, I could tell that something was wrong. My mom was not smiling like usual. Instead, she looked really sad. Mom, I puffed slightly out of breath from running. What's wrong? Mom opened her mouth, then closed it. She opened it once more, then sighed. There's just not an easy way to tell you. I'm sorry, but there are only two plants left. Pip and I both gasped. But how? I looked over to the tree where we'd left the plants, but they weren't there. Wait, where are they? Mom put her arm around me, and we started walking together to the barn. When I got home, I went over to see if I could figure out why you had moved them outside, and I noticed that seven of the plants had turned to ashes. The only two that were left were shaded by the tree's shadow. I rushed them back into the barn. I think they can't handle full sun, honey. A tear rolled down my face. We should never have left them. We shouldn't have gone to the stream. We only have two left? Mom wiped my tear away. They're fine for now. There are even some flower buds, which is exciting. We just have to keep trying our best. But what if the bog you're thinking of isn't the right place? What if I do something else wrong and the last two plants turn to ashes? I don't want the plants to die. I didn't want to say my biggest worry out loud, but I couldn't hold it in anymore. With a big sob, I blurted, "What if I'm the one who makes this plant go extinct?" Oh, sweetheart, magical plants are rare, but I would be really surprised if this was the last of its kind ever. Let's focus on our plan and hope that the bog is the right one. Even though we lost plants today, now we know something new, right? I nodded sadly. Yeah, we know not to plant them in the sun. We'll need to find a place that's shaded. You still look like you need some cheering up. How about a picnic dinner with Dad? I picked up some of your favorite things to eat at the store. We can set up a feast. I sniffed. Thanks, Mom. Can Pip join us? Pip huffed. I highly doubt you'd have anything I'd find delicious on the menu. Human food is so gross. And besides, I'd better get my rest. We have a big hike tomorrow. I clapped my hands together. You're coming on the hike with us? Wouldn't miss it, said Pip. He gave us all goodnight hugs and headed off into the forest, calling out, "See you tomorrow," as he hopped away. Chapter 12. What's that smell? Mom, Dad, Sassafras, and I were all enjoying our picnic dinner. Mom had even picked up a can of tuna fish for Sassafras, and he was savoring each bite as he purred loudly. A warm breeze ruffled my hair. It was such a beautiful night, and the food was so delicious that I actually started to feel a little better. Maybe those two plants weren't the last of their kinds, and now I knew not to plant them in the sun at the bog. Maybe those flower buds would get pollinated and turn into a bunch of rainbow seed pods after all. Hopeful for tomorrow's hike, I made a silent wish that everything would work out. I took a deep breath to try to let go of some of my worries. Wait a minute. I sniffed. Something smelled amazing. Mom, Dad, and Sassafras must have noticed them a smell too, because they stopped eating and started sniffing the air too. "What's that incredible smell?" asked Dad. "I'm not sure," answered Mom. She sniffed some more. "It smells like roses and lilacs and honeysuckle all blooming at once." I sighed and then sniffed some more. "Can Sassafras and I go find out where it's coming from?" Mom and Dad nodded their approval. Sassafras looked at me, then his tuna, then me, then his tuna. Finally, he gave a big sigh, gobbled a giant mouthful of tuna, and trotted over to me. We walked around our house and through the garden, but we couldn't figure out the source of the smell. "Where is it coming from, Sass?" Sassafras gulped the last of the tuna in his mouth and sat for a second. He sniffed first one way, then the other, spinning around in a complete circle. Then his eyes lit up, and he started chattering and took off for the barn. The barn? Oh, the barn! I ran after him. I threw open the barn door and turned on the light. Wow, I breathed. Sassafras started purring. There, in front of us, were several of the most beautiful flowers I'd ever seen. They're beautiful, I murmured. We have to tell Mom. We ran back to the picnic blanket and I blurted out, you have to come see in the barn, before I remembered. My dad can't see magical creatures or plants. Oops. Mom's eyes got really big, but she answered, oh, the smell is coming from the barn? How unusual. Sure, we can come check it out. She gave me a wink as she and Dad got up and followed us to the barn. Inside, Mom couldn't seem to help exclaiming, oh my goodness, the flowers really were so breathtaking. Dad looked around puzzled. You're right, hon. This is really so strange. It smells so wonderful in here, but the only thing I see are these pots of sand and moss. Are you trying to grow something, Zoe? I did my best not to laugh. Poor Dad. All he could see were the soil cups. I really wished he could see the flowers, too. At least he got to smell the amazing smell. It was a start. I sure am, Dad. Well, keep at it. I'm sure something will grow for you eventually. Mom coughed to cover her laugh. It was so funny to hear Dad saying this in front of these enormous plants covered with gorgeous flowers. Oh, Dad. Hey, wait a minute. It was kind of weird that the flowers didn't bloom until the night. Mom? Just out of curiosity, are there plants that only flower at night? Or do most plants start blooming at night and I just haven't noticed? Mom smiled. What a great question. Some plants only bloom during the day, and some only at night. Some bloom both day and night. The flowers are meant to attract their perfect pollinators, so you can get clues about who that pollinator might be by looking at the flower. For instance, a flower that smells like rotting meat and garbage is probably pollinated by a fly. A flower that only opens at night is probably pollinated by a nocturnal creature, something only awake at night. Wait, what? I thought only bees pollinated plants. Dad jumped in. Oh, I know the answer to this one. There are actually lots of different creatures that can pollinate plants. Birds and butterflies are great pollinators. So are monkeys, lizards, bats, beetles, ants. Mm-hmm. And even your favorite, mosquitoes. I shivered. Ugh, mosquitoes are pollinators? Dad laughed. Yep, there are some endangered orchids that rely on mosquitoes to pollinate them. Weird. Mom looked at Dad. Hey, honey, what if instead of going on a day hike tomorrow, Zoe and I camp overnight? She might be able to see some nighttime pollinators up close. Mom winked at me again. I crossed my fingers. The only thing more exciting than a hike would be a hike and camping overnight. Dad thought for a minute. That's a great idea. The weather should be nice. I might be able to come with you, but I have that big project from work. Why don't you take a quiet evening at home, Mom said. We'll be just fine. As long as you don't mind. We'll be great, Dad. Mom and I quietly high-fived. Chapter 13, Camping. I held my breath as I opened the barn door the next morning. Oh, thank goodness. They are okay, Sassafras. Oh, and look. The flowers are closed again. Mom is onto something with that whole nighttime pollinator thing. Sassafras meowed in agreement. Do you think the pollinator will be some kind of giant magical moth? I love moths. Sassafras chattered excitedly. Arg. No eating the pollinators, Sassafras. I gave each plant its 6 teaspoons of water, and then Pip hopped in through the open barn door. Everyone ready for the hike? Pip asked. Wait, where's your mom? I explained about our discovery the night before and bounced up and down a little when I got to the part about getting to camp overnight at the bog. Please say you'll come camp with us? Sassafras bumped Pip gently with his head. Oh, all right, you two, I'll go. Mom says we should meet back here at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock it is, Pip declared. I just have to hop home and pack. Sassafras and I spent the morning inside, setting up more pea plant experiments. In all the excitement about the magical plant, I'd forgotten about the colored leaves experiments I wanted to start. At long last, it was time to leave. Mom, Sassafras, and I arrived at the barn to find Pip wearing a tiny frog-sized backpack. Ready to go, he announced, and hopped up onto my mom's head. Mom laughed. I'll carry the frog and the backpack, and one of the plants. Can you carry the other plant, Zoe? And Sassafras, you can walk? We set off on our long, long, long hike. It was really tiring having to carry large plants and hike. I was trying hard not to be too grumbly and not being too successful when Mom finally declared that we'd arrived. I carefully set down the plant in the shade and took a look around. The bog looked really cool, but I didn't see any plants that looked like ours. I squished my fingers in some soils I found in the shade, though. This squish is just right, Mom. Should we plant them or should we leave them in the pots until we know for sure this is the right place? Mom sat down and sighed. Well, they're getting too big for their pots as it is. I don't know of any other bogs nearby, so let's just be hopeful and try planting them here. I dug a big, juicy hole in the sandy and mucky bog soil. I closed my eyes and whispered a wish that this was the right place and the right thing to do. Then I gently removed the first magical plant from the pot and placed it in the bog. I squished the soggy soil back around the roots. Once it was solidly in the hole, the plant grew almost instantly, about an inch in every direction. Did you see that? Pip yelled. I did, Mom exclaimed. I think that's a promising sign. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I planted the second plant and it did the same, little growth spurt, then nothing. Mom handed me a bottle of water to clean my hands and we settled down for an early dinner. After all that hiking and plant carrying, I was starving. Sassafras chattered hungrily and I patted his head. Remember, no eating moths or any other buggy creature that might be the magical plant pollinator. Sassafras meowed in agreement and I opened a can of tuna to the sound of rumbly cat purrs. Pip hopped off into the forest to find a froggy snack. After we'd eaten, we just sat and stared at the plants. The sun was starting to think about setting. I was hoping once it was dark out, the flowers would bloom again, and the pollinators would be able to follow the flower scent to find the magical plant. Waiting can be kind of boring, I know, said Mom. So I thought I'd bring a little something. She dropped a bag of marshmallows on my lap. I perked up. S'mores? Yes! We roasted marshmallows as the sun finally set. Do you think we'll ever see baby marshmallow again? I asked. Well,
they do see marshmallow.
Well, I'm sure he's hardly a baby anymore, and dragons tend to just stick with each other. They don't often interact with humans. You were pretty lucky to get to meet him. He was the first baby dragon I'd ever met, and I've been helping at the barn for most of my life. I sighed. Yeah, that makes sense. Pip was staring at the plants. Do the flowers seem to sparkle a bit more out here? Mom nodded. I noticed that too. Meow, meow, Sassafras interrupted. Mom, Pip, and I turned to him. His ears were doing the weird twitchy thing they do when he hears something interesting. Just faintly, I could just make out a la 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 la. I had never met a fairy, but I imagined this was what one would sound like.
Fairies?
I whispered. Mom's eyes lit up. She jumped to her feet. Pip hopped up and down and cheered, "Fweeps!" I followed their gaze and saw dozens of floating furry shapes. They looked like they were swimming through the air. They reminded me of dancing sea slugs, nudibranches, that I loved watching at the aquarium. But these magical creatures were furry and sparkly, and they sang. Several of the fweeps circled my mom, their sparkly fur rippling gracefully in the air. One landed on her shoulder. One landed on her hand. They nuzzled her cheeks. Mom knelt down. Oh, Zoe, these are my little friends, the Fweeps. I got to help them many, many years ago. I reached out to touch them. They were so soft. I remember from your science journal. Just then, the Fweeps' song got even faster as they swarm flew through the air to the magical plant. Look, Mom, I think they are the magical plant's pollinator. We tiptoed over and watched. As the fleep sang, the plants grew and more buds opened. Of course. Their songs made the plants grow even better than mine, or the radio's. The fleeps carefully landed on each blossom. It sounded like they were eating something from the flower. Maybe some sweet nectar at the back? And each time a fleep landed on a flower, you could see something sparkly like glitter on their fur. Pip proudly pointed. Look, Zoe, pollen! Mom and I nodded in agreement. After the fleeps visited every flower on each plant, they swirled around all of us once more. Then, just as quickly as they'd appeared, they left. Sassafras meowed, and Mom, Pip, and I turned. He was staring at one of the flowers. As we watched, the flower petal slowly shriveled as the bottom part of the flower swelled and grew. What? I started to ask. Shh, just watch, Mom said with a smile. The bottom part of the flower grew and grew, and as it grew, it started to glow. First red, then orange, then... Mom! New seed pods! We did it! We saved the magical plant! Pip and Sassafras jumped in my arms, and Mom hugged us all. You sure did, baby. Chapter 14. A photo? The next morning we woke up early to the sound of the birds in the forest. I held my breath, slowly unzipped the tent door, and stepped out. The plants were still there. They were still huge. There were still a few new closed flowers, and there were a ton of glowing seed pods lying on the ground near each plant. I let out a big sigh of relief. Mom came out of the tent and we cuddled together eating some warm oatmeal while we watched the beautiful rainbow show of the new seed pods. So, we have to leave them all here, right? I mean, this is where they belong, so it's what's best? Mom nodded. I know it's hard to leave them. Now that we know where the plants grow, though, we can come camp again sometime soon. Maybe even bring your dad. That's true. I bet Dad would love it here, even if he can't see the fleeps or the beautiful plants. And there's one other thing you could do to make saying goodbye a little easier. I raised one of my eyebrows. Check in the backpack toward the bottom. I ran over and dug through the backpack. My hand closed around my camera. Yes! Thank you, Mom! I knelt down to get a close-up photo of a rainbow seed pod that had already fallen to the ground. How about I take your photo with one, sweetie? Oh, that would be even cooler. Sassafras let out a long and fussy meow and Pip humphed. Sorry, guys. Of course you should be in the photo. Pip leaped onto my head and I snuggled up to Sassafras. Say cheese, Mom said. Sassafras purred and Pip and I grinned at the camera. When we got home, I went straight to my room and added the photo to my science journal. Sassafras, Pip, and I looked frozen in time in the photo. But the seed pod glowed out from the photo in rainbow colors. Cool, I breathed. Just opposite the shimmering rainbow photo was a blank page, ready and waiting for whoever we would meet next. The end.